Okay, welcome everyone to this morning's session. My name is Meg Dorogalski. I'm with the University of Manitoba in Canada. And today I would like to cover a little bit of my master's thesis looking at phosphorus and zinc fertilization strategies for corn production in Manitoba. And I guess I should mention for those of you who have read the abstract, it would have included only the 2015 data. However, for this presentation, I will have the 2015 and 2016 season data. So just a little bit of a background of where this research is being conducted and why. If we were to take a look at the Canadian prairies, If we were to take a look at the Canadian prairies here, Manitoba is located right here on the right, with parts of the northern Great Plains being highlighted in yellow here. And the reason I wanted to mention that is because in my province, we are dealing with a fairly short growing season and cool soils at planting. So because of that, we want to implement best management practices we can in order to reduce that cropping risk, improve agronomic production, and increase that profitability for our growers as they continue working with this long season crop. So my project is composed of three different studies, two of which I will present to you today. The first one looking at crop rotation and fertilization strategies for corn grown after canola versus soybean. The reason we are concerned with canola as a preceding crop to corn is because canola is an important non-mycorrhizal crop grown in Western Canada. And in the year of cropping, it tends to decrease Orbisco mycorrhizal fungi populations. On the other hand, corn is highly dependent on that AMF. So therefore, planting corn following canola can be quite detrimental in terms of that early season nutrition, and that corn on canola stubble can be prone to phosphorus and perhaps zinc deficiencies. So in such cases, application of starter fertilizer may be beneficial. And just to show you, this is what we saw early on in the season in 2016. We saw healthier, more vigorous looking plants with the application of starter phosphorus compared to our unfertilized checks, where we also noticed phosphorus deficiency symptoms at that V3 stage, which is this purpling right here. The rotation study was conducted at four different sites. Unfortunately, in 2016, one of our sites had significant flood damage, and I'll be excluding it from the data presented here today. So after that, we were left with two sites, two of which had low P levels and one of which had high P levels. Zinc levels were sufficient at two of our sites, whereas in Stephenfield in 2015, we were below that 1 ppm threshold for zinc deficiency in corn, in which case application of zinc fertilizer may be beneficial. The corn hybrid we planted was a DeKalb 2628. We had two previous crop treatments, canola and soybean, which were seeded and planted in the spring of 2014 and 2015. And we followed that up with five different fertilizer treatments in the year of the test crops. So we had our no phosphorus check, which was our control. We had two different rates of P2O5, 30 and 60 kilograms per hectare. We worked with two different products for the study, monoammonium phosphate, or MAP, and microessentials SZ. We added zinc with the microessentials product, and ammonium sulfate was added to the MAP treatment in order to compensate for the sulfur present in the microessentials product. All treatments were applied at planting as a sideband, 5 centimeters to the side of the seed and 2.5 centimeters below the seed. So just jumping into some early season data, in this case early season biomass, you can see that the corn on canola check did very, very poorly, and application of all P fertilizer significantly increased that early season biomass. And although the corn on soybean check did significantly better than the corn on canola check, we still had 3 out of 4 fertilizer treatments significantly bump up that early season biomass, although that difference was a lot smaller in corn on soybean than it was in corn on canola. Looking at mid-season data, we did notice maturity and silking differences where the application of starter fertilizer significantly advanced that maturity by 3 to 7 days at two of our site years. And below is a visual comparison of what we observed in 2016, for example, where we already had tasseling occurring in our fertilized plots compared to our no-P checks, regardless of the crop. Whether it was soybean or canola, we saw those differences in 2016. Looking at kernel moisture harvest, we had a 2 to 3% decrease in moisture with the application of fertilizer compared to the control in corn on canola only, whereas the corn on soybean check was not significantly different from any of the pea treatments. And of course, we have our grain yields. We had a site year by crop interaction where at Stephen Field in 2015, our corn on soybean out-yielded that corn on canola by about 8%. Otherwise, that site year by crop interaction was statistically but not agronomically significant for the other two site years. Further, we also had a corn grain yields response to fertilizer, where we saw a 10% increase in yields with the application of the high rate of MAP only compared to the control. However, it's important to mention that there was no grain yield differences between any of the pea treatments here. And this was regardless of the preceding crop, this response. So just to summarize, although we saw those substantial early season differences in biomass, we saw large mid-season differences. Our grain yield response was relatively small at the end of the season, where we only observed a 10% increase, and that was only with the application of high rate of MAP compared to the control. So jumping into the tillage study, which looks at fertilization strategies for corn planted in strip till versus conventional till. Just a little bit about strip tillage. It is a conservation tillage practice which is well suited to corn production. It tends to help reduce risk of erosion. It provides that opportunity to pre-plant banned phosphorus. However, it may create cooler soil zones which may lead to phosphorus deficiencies. In such cases, that application of starter fertilizer may not only help accelerate that early season crop development, it may also have late season benefits. And this is what we saw, again, this is 2015 in strip till. We saw more vigorous, healthier looking plants again with the application of spring side-banded starter compared to our unfertilized checks, where again, we observed those phosphorus deficiency symptoms at that V3 stage. Tillage study was conducted at four different sites. We had two sites with fairly low P levels and two sites with medium P levels. Residue we worked with was mainly wheat, and we planted the same hybrid DeKalb 2628. We had two previous tillage treatments, which were performed in the fall of 2014 and 2015 prior to planting the test crop the following spring. And here is a visual comparison of what the treatments look like, where you have the strip till here, where there is far more residue left on the surface compared to the conventional tillage, where there is a little bit less. We had five different fertilizer treatments again. We had our no phosphorus check, which was our control. We only worked with one product in this study, which was monoammonium phosphate. And we had two different rates of P2O5, 30 and 60 kilograms per hectare. However, we varied the timing of application of these treatments. So two of the treatments were applied in the spring as a side band with our corn planter, again, 5 centimeters to the side and 2.5 centimeters below the seed. And here's just a visual of where that band would have been located relative to the seed. This is post-emergence. And two of the treatments would have been applied in the fall as a deep band, 10 to 13 centimeter depth, with our strip till unit and the fertilizer knife here. If I get my pointer back, there we go. Okay, so just jumping straight into mid-season data, again, we saw silking and maturity differences where only the application of spring side-banded MAP advanced that maturity by 3 days at two of our site years, and this was regardless of the tillage treatment. And again, a visual comparison of what we observed throughout the season. Here you can already see silking and ear development occurring in our fertilized plots compared to our control no phosphorus check, where there is nothing happening yet on the same date of observation. And here as well, I don't think you can see it very well in this picture, but tasseling was already occurring in our fertilized plots compared to our no phosphorus check, as well as a little bit of a height difference in the fertilized plots. Looking at kernel moisture at harvest, we had a significant decrease of 2% at Carmen in 2016 compared to the check. However, the story was a little bit different at Portage in 2016, where it was the fall deep-banded MAP that significantly reduced that moisture compared to the control by 1 to 2%. But, you know, even though we saw these differences in terms of moisture differences, in the end, it was the spring side-banded MAP that gave us a significant yield response compared to the control, and the spring sideband treatments did also significantly better compared to our fall debanded treatments, regardless of the tillage treatment. So again, just summarizing the tillage study data, we saw those early season differences, which I haven't shown you here today just for the sake of time, where we had a 77 to 81% early season biomass increase. We also saw large mid-season and maturity differences, but those didn't translate into substantial grain yield differences, where we only saw a 5% increase at the end of the season with the spring sidebanded map compared to the control. And also some good news for all of you strip tillers out there. I'd like to mention that the corn planted in strip till yielded as well as corn planted in conventional till and had similar grain moisture at harvest. So for me, that is good news because you can have the benefits of the strip till system without having to sacrifice your moisture and yield at harvest. And with that, I would like to acknowledge my funders, collaborators, and contributors to this project, without whom this program would not be possible, so thank you very much. And finally, I'll leave you with my contact information in case you have any questions following the conference and where you can find me on Twitter for all things corn. So thank you.
We have time for a question or two.
In Manitoba, we're ranging fairly in the neutral. We had some sites that had 6.8, and you went up to maybe 7.8, so roughly in that range. Yeah.
Your pea placement was 5 centimeters over and 1.5 centimeters below the corn?
2.5 below the seed. So that would be 2x1 band. Yeah. 2x1. We couldn't get deep enough for the 2x2, and that's what we were aiming for, but our corn planter just couldn't do it.
That's below the
below
seed.
The seed. Yep.
You talked about the benefits of strip till in Manitoba late season. Any concerns early season that might actually delay, say, more conversions in such a short growing season?
In terms of strip tillage?
Well,
with the strip till, what we've noticed, we actually, the concern would be the warming up of the soil early on in the season, but we monitor temperatures, and right where you're planting in that black strip of the soil, the temperatures are very similar to your conventional till. So even though we maybe observed a little bit of a later emergence or not as vigorous emergence in the strip till, it caught up. It caught up mid-season and late season, yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.